Have you ever dreamed about finding treasure? Maybe stumbling upon it and becoming a millionaire overnight? There are real stories of real people who have found real treasure. And one of them is, I'm just going to read to you, it was in 2012. Two amateur metal detectors discovered one of the largest hoards of Celtic coins worth 10 million pounds buried in a field. Tell me about becoming a millionaire overnight. Some of you may want to go and buy a metal detector after hearing my message today, but it's not a message about how to become rich. But it's about finding treasure. Now, Jesus, in Matthew 13, he tells a parable, the parable of the hidden treasure. And in this parable, he likens the kingdom of heaven to a hidden treasure. And this is what it says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Matthew 13, verse 44. Now, I want to invite you to look at this parable from three different perspectives. The same parable, three different perspectives. And the first one of them, the first perspective, is looking from the point of view that I am the man who finds the treasure, who stumbles upon the treasure and finds it. And the treasure is Jesus. The treasure is eternal life as a child of God. And when I realize the immeasurable value of that treasure, I do everything I can to get hold of it. And in a sense, Jesus here is talking also a little bit about the cost of embracing the kingdom, the cost of saying yes to wanting that treasure. Now, Jesus made very clear that the cost of discipleship is a high cost. And this cost applies to the three different perspectives that I am going to share. But before we move on to perspective number two and three, let's have a look at what that cost entails. And we know that the cost ultimately in Matthew 10:39 is our lives. We have to lose our lives in order to find it. But I want to highlight three things that are very costly when it comes to embracing that treasure. The first one of them is relationships. And in Luke 14:26, Jesus says, "When you follow me as my disciple, you must put aside your father, your mother, your wife, your sisters, your brothers. Yes, you will even seem as though you hate your own life. This is the price you'll pay to be considered one of my followers." So it's calling for a reorder of priorities. Who are the most important people in your life? And Jesus is saying, "I have to be number one. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciples." I remember as a young man, in my early 20s, for many years, I struggled with alcohol and drug addiction. And when I heard the call from Jesus to come and follow him, I had to turn away. I had to reorder my priorities in terms of my friendships. I had to walk away from certain friendships and from certain lifestyles in order to be entirely free and be able to follow Jesus. And the moment I decided to do that, I was clean overnight. The second point I want to highlight as a cost of discipleship is wealth. It can be translated as money or status. And in Matthew 19, we read the story of the rich young man who comes to Jesus with the question, "How do I obtain eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie. Honor your father and mother and love those around you as you love yourself." This is verse 16 of Matthew 19. And the rich young man turns to him, "I've done all that. What do I lack? What else do I need to do?" And Jesus turns to him and says, if you really want to be perfect, go immediately and sell everything you own. Give all your money to the poor, and your treasure will be transferred into heaven. Then come back and follow me for the rest of your life. Now, the third thing I want to highlight as a cost to discipleship, as a cost to embracing that treasure, is it's going to cost your own life. The good news is that we can have eternal life in Jesus. But the deal is that in order for us to obtain that, we have to die. We have to die to the world. We have to die to ourselves. We have to die to sin. We have to die to our own rights. Luke 9, verse 24 says, "For if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for my glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more of true life. If you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will lose what you try to keep." Also in John 12, 25, it says, "The person who loves his life and pampers himself will miss true life. But the one who detaches his life from this world and abandons himself to me will find true life and enjoy it forever. If you want to be my disciple, follow me and you will go wherever I'm going. And if you truly follow me as my disciple, the Father will shower his favor upon your life." Now, willingness to give up these three things is directly connected to our understanding, to our ability to grasp the value of that treasure. If I don't think that treasure is valuable enough, I'm not going to give up those three things. I maybe, you know, give up, reorder my relationships, but will not give up wealth. I will not give up everything to get hold of that treasure. And the truth is that we are born out of order. And Jesus's invitation is to follow him and as a result, put our lives back in order. Reorder relationships, reorder priorities, reorder the things that matter so that we can be real disciples of Jesus. All right, so the perspective number one is very simple. We are the man or the woman. We find the treasure. We understand the value of the treasure, and we sell everything that we have to get hold of that treasure, the treasure being the kingdom of God, an eternal life spent with Jesus. Now, the second perspective I want to invite you to look to have when looking at this parable is that Jesus is the man and we are the treasure. Deuteronomy 7:6 says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." So the Bible says that we are his treasure. We are the hidden treasure. Now, what was the cost that Jesus paid to get hold of that treasure, to get hold of us? Well, Jesus left the Father's presence. We read in John 3:16 that the Father gave his Son, and he came into a world that did not want him. So he left the presence of the Father to come to a world that didn't want him. He also sold all that he had. He left his exalted place of glory. We read that in Philippians 2. And he became sin for us and took our punishment so that we could have right standing with God and be called his children. And ultimately, he offered his life so that he could have the treasure. He gave his life in exchange of us, his treasure. So the second perspective, as Jesus is the man and we are the treasure. Perspective number three is that I am the man, and those around me are the hidden treasure. Now, when Jesus looks at us, he sees treasure. He sees the real value that we have. And we need to learn to look at each other the same way. It is a God-given gift that enables us to see the treasure in those around us, whoever they are. And we recognize by looking at people through the eyes of Jesus, we recognize the tremendous value they have in God's sight. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." Now, in the English language, we only have one word to describe the word love, translated from the Bible. It's translated love, but in the New Testament language, in the Greek language, there are four different words with four different meanings for the word love. And this passage here in John 13:34, it talks about agape love. Is sacrificial love, is the same love that we find in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, is sacrificial love. So the Bible is filled with passages about serving one another, preferring one another, bearing one another. So how much does that cost? How much does it cost to not only see the treasure in others, but do what we can to help that treasure in orders to shine brighter and brighter? There is a cost. In John 15, verses 12 through 14, we read, "This is my command, love each other deeply, as much as I have loved you. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. When you show that you're my intimate friends, when you obey all that I command you." Now we ourselves, as the man and as the woman who find the treasure in each other, we are called to seek the interests of others. So what am I willing to do so that the treasure in my neighbor, in the person standing next to me, what can I do in order to make that to help the person to help to see that treasure shine brighter and brighter? And the cost remains the same. A reorder of priorities is necessary. It talks about relationships. I need to step out of the center. I need to stop looking at myself, my own needs, my rights, and begin to look at those around me. It costs wealth. It might mean from time to time putting my hand in my pocket and helping a friend, helping a neighbor. It means stepping down from whatever status I may think I have in order to put myself at the same level as others. The Bible invites us to cry with those who cry. It talks about putting ourselves in the same place that others are and feel their pain. And ultimately, it costs our own lives. John 15, we read, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down your life for your friends." So here are three different perspectives of the same parable. We are the men or the woman who find the treasure, which is eternal life with Jesus, salvation, the good news. And our reaction is we give up everything that we have to embrace that. The second perspective is the truth that Jesus sees that amazing treasure in each one of us. And he has already made the sacrifice. He's already given everything so that he could have you as his treasured possession. And the third perspective is seeing the treasure in each other and helping those around us to bring out those treasures in them. But I want to finish with a final highlight that is found in the three perspectives. In the parable, we read, that the man, for joy over finding the treasure, he sells all that he has to buy the field where the treasure is hidden. So the cost is high, but joy is the currency. It's a sacrifice that flows out of joy. In Hebrews 12, 2, we read that Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. So the joy of recovering the long lost treasure. You know, it's like Jesus came, he sacrificed himself, he went back to heaven, he said, Dad, I got them. I fulfilled my purpose. Though it cost my entire life, it was worth it. So I pray that you will experience an overflow of joy in following Jesus, embracing the cost with joy, in knowing that you're God's treasure possession, and in serving, in laying down your own life because you acknowledge the treasure in your neighbor's life. Now, discipleship is synonymous with joy. I remember some time ago, we had a family devotion in our house, and we talked about joy as an acronym, and J standing for Jesus first, O other second, and yourself last. That is the secret of happiness. That is what joy is all about, is reordering our lives so that we can experience, we can embrace that treasure. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Amen.